Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
It's Tony D here on the nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio. Thanks for joining us. All right, the NBA playoffs, and boy, there's always news, isn't there? All right, so the LA Clippers are down two major components. Steph Curry's going to be out for a while. Cleveland's looking pretty good. Let's sort it all out. Dan Feldman joins us, NBCSports.com, talk NBA. How are you, Dan?
Good. How are you?
Good. This is awful for the Clippers. Just when you think there might be an opening, if they can get through Portland and the injury to Curry, they lose Chris Paul and Blake Griffin. I'm completely writing them off now. In this series against the Trailblazers, should I be writing them off against Portland?
I don't know if you should, if you should write them off. I think they're the underdogs now, but DeAndre Jordan's one of the most underrated players in the league. So is J.J. Redick. The big problem is, for their skills to really shine, especially offensively, they need a point guard to get them the ball. Like, there's nothing wrong with being somebody who's awesome when a point guard can get you the ball. That's a valuable skill. But that is their style. So now there's going to be a lot of pressure on Austin Rivers and Pablo Prigioni to make DeAndre Jordan and J.J. Redick look decent.
Dan, the injury to Steph Curry has been labeled as 2 weeks, and that's a little bit flexible. He might come back earlier, it might be longer. With that kind of knee injury, what's the biggest fear that people have with that kind of knee injury? That it might be longer, or is this something he can bounce back from?
Well, so this is different than a typical situation. I mean, the biggest fear here is that the Warriors, I think everybody assumes they're going to get past the Rockets, myself included, no matter what. But the biggest fear is just that this takes too long where they're down in the next series, whether that's against the Trailblazers or the Clippers. So I don't know if there's a huge worry about the exact number of days it takes. I think the more direct thing is that they're going to be down too much when he returns.
Yeah, because when you talk about a player being out for an injury during the regular season, it's so different in the playoffs because the teams are making adjustments and they're going back to the film every night and they're going to try something different, and that's how the playoff series works. When you look at the Golden State Warriors without Steph Curry, and we've had some games in the regular season without him, how good is Golden State in a series where teams will attack every possible angle that they can?
They're okay for the 12 of the playoffs. They're not a special team that they are with Curry. But they're by no means out of it. They don't look as desperate as the Clippers do. The Clippers, have played practically no minutes. I think it's less than 30 when you have DeAndre Jordan and J.J. Redick on the floor without Chris Paul and Blake Griffin. Like, it was unprecedented territory for them. Not the case for the Warriors. They've shown some signs of this working. Draymond Green is a fantastic defender. Klay Thompson's not a far step behind. I think what gets lost about the Warriors is that when they need to, they have an ability to play a slow, grinded-out game pretty successfully. Even though their preference is to play fast, to play up-tempo, they can play a number of styles. They have the depth to do that.
How did you view the Rockets in the second half of that game on Sunday? When Steph Curry goes down, it's a tie game, and they just basically go, we don't want to be here, so let's get out of here as quick. How did you view the way the Rockets played in that game without any sort of kill factor?
Well, there have been a number of times this series where it just looks like, they want to go home, and they're not the first team in this boat. A lot of times it's a team with higher expectations entering the season, which also applies to Houston, or for whatever reason, you get in the playoffs, guys are looking ahead to their next contract. They're looking ahead to where they're going to go on vacation. And their desire to keep playing just isn't that high. This is not unique to the Rockets, but they certainly look like one of those teams.
And I would understand if they were getting blown out and Curry was. I just thought with a tie game and a chance to make it 2-2, you would say, all right, let's change our plans and actually try to win this thing. I was just blown away in the third quarter. They were outscored like by 20 points.
Yeah, but if you're really one of these teams that's looking ahead to vacation and free agency,
yeah, it's true.
Making it 2-2 just means extra games. Like
that's now
what you want. Plus the Warriors were motivated. They saw this happen and they wanted to win this one for Curry. And even all that said, throughout the season, even without Curry, I think the Warriors have been better than the Rockets. So I don't want to crucify the Rockets for looking like they didn't care. They didn't look like they cared any less than they have most of the season anyway.
You are a kinder man than I, Dan Feldman, NBCSports.com. Let's go to the East. Cleveland, for all the drama and ups and downs that they've had this season and being under the microscope, do they look like they have righted everything and just have got the team the way they wanted as they enter the postseason?
I don't think four games against a slightly above average Pistons team can be enough to say they've righted everything. But the fact that Kyrie Irving looks better than he had all season, all year, he looked like he had never gotten over his injury. He still looked a step slow. His shot was a little off. Not that he was a bad player, but he wasn't that special player. You know, they obviously had trouble integrating Kevin Love all year. That was a huge thing for them. It all came together for four games. And that's impressive, and they'll have to keep building on it. But I'm not ready to say that they've answered all the questions yet.
All right, now let's go to a couple of series that are kind of competitive. I don't know how far the teams will go who emerge, but they're competitive. The Toronto Raptors beat Indiana by coming back in the fourth quarter, a massive run for them. This is a series where momentum's going back and forth, but which team looks better?
Neither. I mean, so the strange thing in this last game was that the Raptors really won because Bismack Biyombo and Norman Powell, two role players, really stepped up in the fourth quarter. DeMar DeRozan got it going a little bit, although in a way that I think the Pacers can stifle in the next game because he really got into a rhythm when Paul George sat. Simple solution for the Pacers is make sure their minutes match because DeRozan's really gotten almost nothing going. While being guarded by Paul George in the series. Kyle Lowry continues to struggle against George Hill, another superb defender. And so when Paul George is the best player on the floor, when the Pacers, when they win, they're playing how they want to play. And the Raptors, sometimes when they win, it's because the right role player got it going. You know, that's not the most comforting feeling for Toronto. Where the Raptors are, I mean, they'll take a win wherever they can get, but this is by, you know, no means a decisive 3-2 advantage, not like it usually is.
All right, let's go back to the West with the Spurs and the Oklahoma City Thunder will kick off their series. I think the Spurs were a team that had such a good season, but they were just overshadowed, but still one of the best seasons Popovich has ever put together. But where do you see the advantage in this series? How good are the Thunder in comparison to the Spurs?
Well, I think the Spurs are the better team overall, but the Thunder have given them trouble over the last few years because of their athleticism. And that's just been tough for San Antonio to match, and a lot of that's been predicated on Serge Ibaka, who for a long portion of the season looked old. Like, he did not look that athletic. He didn't look like he had it. And then all of a sudden, in the first-round series against Dallas, he kind of looked like he was back to his old self. And you wonder, you know, is he holding back in the regular season because he wanted to save his energy and his activity level for the playoffs? You know, a lot of guys do that, or is this just what happens to be a few good games for him? So I think a lot of this is going to hinge on what Ibaka can give the Thunder.
All right, and Dan, Russell Westbrook, he's a superstar, right? Are we going down Mark Cuban's path? He's a superstar, right?
Well, I don't like Kevin Durant calling me an idiot.
I know, right?
Russell Westbrook is a superstar.
Why would Mark Cuban make that comment? I don't. Was there a psychological strategy for this? He has to know that, right?
Oh, I believe that. I mean, it's the same reason before the series Rick Carlisle went out of his way to call Dion Waiters a star. It's the same reason Charlie Villanueva's breaking up Westbrook's pregame dance routines. The Mavericks were so overmatched, they needed to find some way to try to get a mental edge, and it didn't work. The Thunder are too savvy for that. But if you're the Mavericks, what else are you going to do? You got to try something. You're not going to square up with them and win with the talent on the court.
I got 60 seconds. Give me a name I should be thinking about for the L.A. Laker job.
Well, Luke Walton's probably their top choice. I don't know if they can get him. So if I were them, I'd look to be as creative as possible to not go for another retread. But I think Luke Walton's the hot name if the Lakers had their choice.
Kevin Ollie? Do you think Kevin Ollie's got a shot at that thing?
I do. I don't know for sure he would take it or if they would offer it to him. But I think there's at least a little bit of interest on both sides. And that's the type of outside-the-box person who I think would be a good fit.
Dan Feldman, always great. NBCSports.com on the NBA and the playoffs. Always good talking to you, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
All right, coming up, Steve Kerr was the NBA Coach of the Year. Should he have really gotten that? we'll explore next. It's Tony D here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Don't forget, coming up next hour, the Raiders may be moving to Vegas, and we'll also talk to KD Drummond on the Dallas Cowboy draft. They're picking fourth. It's all coming up. It's Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio.